Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk about eliminating legal accusations of the enemy. So, how many know that the devil is a legalist? And we know that here because we're kingdom. We know how he, you know, we have so many powerful men and women of God that come through here. And so we know that the devil is a legalist. And so he has strategies and he has things that he uses against us. Okay. Proverbs 26:2 says that a curse causeless cannot come. It cannot light on you unless there is a doorway or a place that he can come in and get to you. Okay. So he can't just get up and say, you know, I'm going to attack Aaron today. I'm going to, you know, just take him out today. He can't do that. And so, you know, we teach that when we talk about cleansing and all that stuff. We talk about legal rights. And so go to Revelation 12. Verse 10. It says, then I heard a strong, loud voice in heaven saying, now it has come, the salvation and power and the kingdom, the dominion, the reign of our God, and the power, the sovereignty and authority of his Christ, the Messiah. Then he says, for the accuser of our brethren who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night has been cast out. And so I want to talk about eliminating these accusations and casting out this accusing spirit that's in the body of Christ. Okay. You notice it says, when he heard a loud voice in heaven, then he says that salvation and power in the kingdom of Christ our God has come. And so I believe in my heart, when we get to Revelation, okay, of the kingdom of God and of the power of God and how much we house and who we are, okay, that accusing spirit that's in the body of Christ can't get on us and can't attack us and can't light on us. And so, you know, we know that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? Okay, we're there now. So my words right now, I'm seated with Christ. So my words are going out into the throne. Whatever I'm speaking is going out. It's good or bad. And so when the Lord began to talk to me about this accusing spirit and how he works, he was telling me that he works through you and me. Yes. Does he not? Yes. And so if I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places and I have this accusing I speak contrary to what God has said, and I'm going to walk you through the word. I speak contrary to what the Father is saying about me or about my brother in the body of Christ. When I do that, I am literally used by the enemy, and I give him power and authority over my brother or over myself. And so the snare comes in, the devil comes in, and he snares us. We know by the words of our mouth, okay, but it's all done. It's all done in the spirit realm, okay, and it's real. And so we wonder why a lot of our prayers are hindered. We wonder why we cry out to God and we intercede and we pray, and the Lord, you know, gives us these prophetic words and they're so powerful, and we want those things to come, okay, and we believe God for that. And you know, one day, you know, we're praying, we're interceding, and we just know, we feel God, and it's great, and we know it's going to happen, you know. And then maybe the next day, all right, we have a little different spirit or a little different attitude. And so we begin to speak contrary to all the hours that we labored in prayer over a word or over a promise. We speak contrary to that. And Proverbs says that it's a snare to us and it hinders our prayers. Okay. And so a curse can't come without a cause. So I'm just going to share, God's been restoring some things, you know, in my life. And this is, we know he's doing that. There was a gentleman that a few years ago when I went into the city of St. Louis, and this is a little sidebar, I got to share this because it's just blew my mind. But he came to the meeting last night, and this was a man that when I first went into the city of St. Louis, he opened a door for me to go. Okay. And he's a very prophet gifted man. So I go in there. Well, he began to accuse me after hearing the teaching. He accused me of being a false teacher. Okay, and he shut the door. I mean, people were coming and people were getting revelation about cleansing, but he was the one that invited me. Well, he accused me of that. And he says, you know, you're a false teacher, false prophet. I don't want that stuff coming in here, you know. But you know what? That curse did not land on me. You know why? Because when he was speaking those things to me, okay, I didn't retaliate and speak back to him. I kept my mouth off of him. Because he is a man of God. He didn't have understanding, but he's still a man of God. And so the curses that he spoke over me didn't come back and land on me. I didn't get offended. And you know, we have to take that stuff to the Lord. It might hurt my feelings, that little feeling, you know, that soulish realm, but I didn't allow it to get in my spirit because I knew that it, you know, that it was the enemy using him, okay? And he didn't understand. Well, since then, all hell broke loose in his life. Okay, because of what he spoke against the work of the Lord. Okay, against Jesus, because the Bible says we scatter. Okay, we're either gathering or scattering with what we say. Well, what did he do? He scattered. Since then, now he's in a case. You know, his wife's left him. It's awful. But I say all this to say, he's on a journey, and he came to these meetings. In St. Louis, humbled himself, came to these meetings, repented. Okay, I ministered to him and loved on him because I liked the man. I liked him when he, you know, when he did all that. I loved who he was because I could see past, you know, the things he didn't understand, you know. And so why does Jesus say, pray for them? Yeah. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And you know, if we do that, okay, if we pray... for those people that say crazy stuff about us, he knows that that thing can't get on us, and we will not pick up offense if I pray for them. Even if I'm angry and I'm praying. Because God deals with our emotions. Okay? And so I thank God for that. And there was another lady that came, you know, from the territory back home that said I was a witch years ago. And she showed up. Humbled herself and repented, and you know what I'm saying? What God is proving his word is true. It might take a little bit, okay? But if I keep my heart right, guess what? God moves. And so a curse doesn't come without a cause. What does it mean to accuse? And see, we are who we are today and where we are today because of words. First, it's a thought, and the thought becomes a word, right? Whatever you're meditating on, it's going to come out of your mouth. I can promise you that. In Ecclesiastes 10, it says, curse not the king, no, not even in your thoughts, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber, for a bird of the air will carry the voice, and a winged creature will tell the matter. And we know in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength to do his word, heeding to the voice of his word. And so when we read that, we see that winged creatures take our words, good or bad, evil or angels, angelic or demonic, take our words. What we say, okay, they're going to take it, okay, and they're going to use that word for good or they're going to use it for evil. And so what the Father was telling me about the body is we have to tighten up with our mouth. We have to tighten up. There's a lot of things going on. And when churches transition, because I know, you know, the one in Missouri is transitioning too. And a lot of transitioning and shifting and changings. And we don't understand. So we need to be quiet and just take it to the Lord when we don't understand things. But sometimes, you know, we get in ourself in this fleshly realm. We begin to say things that we shouldn't say. And we're snaring each other. In Genesis 11, it said that they all had the same speech, did they not? They were so unified, the Tower of Babel, they all thought the same, they spoke the same thing. And Jesus and the Lord said there was nothing that they could not accomplish. Why? Because they weren't snaring each other up or hindering anything. Okay, they were building something. God came down to see it. It was so magnificent that they could do such a thing. And see, we can do that in the body of Christ. You know, and I think about things like how we're praying against abortion in the body of Christ, and we're crying out and we're doing everything we know to do. But yet, you know, how many of those prayers are hindered because we murder with our mouth and we're killing each other with our own words? And we're all created in the image and likeness of God with the same spirit. See, regardless of those things, I'm created, you know, in the image and likeness of Jesus. And so I don't want to speak against, because then I'm scattering instead of gathering, and I'm speaking against the Christ. Okay. And so God is, he's shifting all that. Go to Proverbs 6. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to hinder my brother and sister's prayers. And I sure don't want mine hindered. In Proverbs 6, 2, there's some things that need to be released. And I taught this a couple places, and we prayed a prayer at the end, and people began to see breakthroughs. Some things were held up because of those words and those accusations. So we're going to eliminate those later. In Proverbs 6, 2, it says, "You are snared by the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your mouth. Do this now at once and earnestly, my son, and deliver yourself when you have put yourself into the power of your neighbor. So bestir and humble yourself and beg your neighbor to pay his debt and thereby release you." So we can hold each other. We can actually hold each other by words. Jesus said our words are spirit and life. They have power. They have power of life and death. We quote that, but we fully don't understand how much power we have. We really don't. Because if we did, we would be speaking a lot more life and a lot more power than the other. Okay? And so it goes on to say, he said, "Give not unnecessary sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself," he says it again, "as a roe or a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." And so when you talk about it, you're snared. Go to Proverbs 18. I just walk the word, write them down. You need to dig back in it. When you hear a word from the Lord, you should continue in it that week and get the full revelation of it. In Proverbs 18, verse 7, "A self-confident fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself. The words of a whisper and a talebearer as are dainty morsels, they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Why do they go down the innermost parts? Because they're laying a foundation. They're building something. See, your words are building something. They are living and alive. So whatever I'm speaking, whatever I'm putting out of my mouth, faith or fear, all those things, I'm building something inside of me. And I'm also building something in my neighbor. Then he says, "He who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. And he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide." So I can actually abort, okay, my purpose and my calling by what I speak. When we had that conference, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "What is it in you that's too big for me that I can't use you the way I desire?" Wow. I was like, "Oh, what is it in you? What do you think is in you that's too big for me?" Mm-hmm. Nothing. Think about that. Okay? But we have all this self-condemnation and, you know, all this stuff. We look and we know that God is speaking to us and we're like, you know, and you have dreams. Many of you have dreams and desires inside of you, but you're looking at yourself instead of keeping your eyes on the Lord who does it. Yeah. Okay? It's not by might or power, but it's by his spirit that you house. So stop holding back when God is speaking and trying to use you. This house is so full of word and truth and power. You guys have so much revelation, you know, and so much anointing and giftings is in this house, you know, that there's absolutely nothing that you all cannot do if you set your mind to it. Nothing. Bless the Lord. So your negative words against God, okay, spouses, each other, children, leadership, bosses, is a snare for the enemy. Say you don't like your workplace. Okay, we've all been there.
Yeah.
But what are we speaking?
Right.
Okay, are we snaring up the place that we work? Are we snaring up our bosses? Are we putting a snare on them? Go to Matthew 12. See, Christ taught a lot about words. He taught a lot about accountability to what we say. And it's one thing that God has taught me, and it's been a journey to learn it. And I've not perfected it by no means, but I've been through a lot in leadership in churches throughout my life, and done it for 22 years, being connected to folks. And you know what? I've learned just to be quiet. I've learned when there's things I don't understand, just to be quiet. I just go pray in the spirit and seek the Lord on it. I don't allow people to pull me in and entrap me in things. And then when they're speaking those things against me, just like the other two, I don't retaliate with anything back, because you know what? I don't have to, because God validates me. Okay? It's His stamp, and He validates you. He's validating you. So you don't have to pick that thing up, and you don't have to retaliate in any way, shape, or form. Vengeance is the Lord's, and He's in you. In Matthew 12:33, it says, make the tree sound, healthy, and good, and its fruit will be sound, healthy, and good. Or make the tree rotten, diseased, and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased, and bad. For the tree is known and recognized, and it's judged by the fruit. He says, you offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil and wicked? For out of the fullness and the overflow and the superabundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Then he says, the good man out of his inner good treasure flings forth good things. That's us. Okay? And the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. So out of those words, out of those idle words, why is it so serious? It's because I'm building something. It's because I have creative power on the inside of me. Supernatural creative power. And when I speak, it comes out and it's gathering and it's creating what I'm speaking and what I'm saying, and it will produce that which comes out of a creative source. It's going to produce. We are where we are today personally by what we've spoken over ourselves. And so why do we get lazy with our faith confessions and our declarations? And we've all done it. We'll get on fire with it, and we'll be speaking life and blessings, and we'll be declaring that word that was spoken over us. Do it for 2 weeks. And then, you know, the devil comes to what? Snatch the seed of the word. He wants to snatch it. We know the parable. He's after the word. He's after the word because he knows that a faith-filled word, he knows that that power, that word has so much power, okay, because you're speaking it. And he knows it's going to produce what you're speaking. So he comes to distract you and get you off course. You remember Job. Job 1:5, it says, Job says, I fear that it may be that my children have sinned. And the Bible says something very serious. It said, and Job said this continuously. So we know, we always say it. How did the devil get him? Because fear opened the door. Why? Because it was coming out of his mouth. His worry, his fear kept on and on. And so Satan had a right to go in and afflict the man. Okay? In Ecclesiastes 10:8, let's talk about this hedge. 10:8 says, he that digs a pit for others will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a fence or a stone wall, a serpent will bite him. Whoever removes landmark stones or hews out new ones with similar intent will be hurt with them, and he who fells trees will be endangered by them. And so when you're talking about this pit, you're talking about, go to Psalms 80. What's happened is because of things we have spoken, and I'm here to tell you, there's things you've spoken, you've forgotten you said it. Okay? And it's still affecting you today. All right? The devil don't forget. The enemy does not forget the things you've spoken. So today, thank God, we're going to clean the atmosphere. Because I don't want that around. I don't want that stuff lingering around where I'm seated in the throne. I don't want those things being used against me. And so in Psalm 80, I'm talking about the head. The serpent comes and he bites. Psalm 80 verse 12 says, "Why have you broken down its hedges and its walls so that all who pass by pluck from its fruit?" So we wonder why we're not seeing fruit in our life. It says, "The boar out of the wood wastes it, and the wild beast of the field feeds on it." He said, "Turn again, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, visit and have regard for this vine." He said, "Protect and maintain the stock which your right hand planted, and the branch, the son that you have reared and made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. It is cut down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man that you have made strong for yourself. Then will we not depart from you. Revive us. Give us life. And we call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord of God. Cause your face to shine in pleasant and pleasure, approval, and favor on us, so we'll be saved." So he's talking about the hedge that got broke down and how the boars and the beasts of the field came in and devoured the fruit. Okay? Think about, you know, it could be in any area of your life. You have to continuously be in a consistent faith walk in the kingdom. Okay? Now, if you were out there in a different kind of church, that'd be different. But when you're in the kingdom, you have so much revelation and power. He's looking for a snare. He's looking for something to keep you from accessing the fullness of who you are. Okay? He's looking for it. And so don't give him any. Okay? Don't give him anything. We know that Jesus, okay, in John 14:30, we know that Jesus said the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. And there's a scripture in, I believe it's Luke, that says that when Jesus was speaking, they could find nothing in his words. That's how come the enemy had no place in him. There was nothing in Jesus that the enemy could get him. Okay? We know he was sinless, yes. But his words were perfect. He was perfect. And James says, if I bridle my tongue, if I learn how to speak... He didn't say if I fast 40 days. He didn't say it, did he? He didn't say if I did this or that. He said, if I learn to bridle my mouth, he says, my whole body will be perfect. I will be a perfect man. Yeah. Wow. Think about that. If we can learn how to talk right, if we can learn how to speak right. I get on to my kids all the time. I don't allow them to be, you know, negative and self-pity and start to look at what they don't have. I'm all the time telling them, no, look at what you do have. Speak what you do have. Speak what you see where you're going. See, because he changes us from glory to glory. I will not be in the same place that I am now a year from now. I'm changing from glory. I don't want to be in the same place. Okay, I want to learn new things in the kingdom. I want to grow in God. And I can do that if I continue to walk it out. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? We don't settle for less than in the kingdom. We're king kids, right? In Ecclesiastes 7:20 it says, "Do not take to heart." And this is what the Lord spoke to me one time when people were gossiping and just, you know, trying to tear me down, you know, a few years back. He spoke to me. He said, "Haven't you ever gossiped about anybody?" I mean, he kicked me good. Kicked me right in the tail. What have you ever said anything negative about anybody? Have you ever slandered anybody? I was like, wow. All right, Father, forgive me. So Ecclesiastes 7 says, 20:21 says, "Do not take to heart everything people say." He says, "Lest you hear your servant cursing you, for many times also you, your own heart, as known, even," he said, "as you have cursed others." He says, you know in your heart you've cursed others, so don't take to heart everything they're saying about you. It's okay. You don't take it to heart. Okay? Because you know what? You've done it too. So we thank God he washes us and he's going to cleanse us and calls us to remember some things that we need to remember. Go to Isaiah 59. See, our words are so important to the Father. And I have a man of God that, I know a man of God that's had some visitation, went to heaven and stuff, and he was sharing how our words are recorded. And I'm going to read it to you in Malachi. It's true. And he said he had a vision. He saw angels just recording the saints' words, just taking notes and recording in books. I said, wow, I got to be careful. Because that means they're recording what I'm saying. That means that there are books written. There are things that, you know, how are we going to be judged, and how are we going to be, by what? What we've been saying, what we've been producing, what we've been creating. Have we been gathering or scattering in the body? I want to be a gatherer. I don't know about you. In Isaiah 59:11, he says, we have all grown and grow like bears and moan plaintively like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know and recognize them as rebelling against and denying the Lord, turning away from following our God, speaking what? Oppression, revolt, conceiving it and muttering and moaning from the hearts, words of falsehood. So the Lord sees that, and you read that, that's how serious it is about what we're saying in this season. See, God has declared some things. We know we're a keyhole to the nation. There's some powerful things that God is doing and working in this region. And so we can't be moved if it might not be happening the way you think or the way you thought. We can't even say nothing about it. Okay? And I've shared this, and people know it. What it looked like when I moved here, it don't look like that now. It don't. I had some ideas and some things that I thought, you know, even transitioning to South Haven, what it was going to look like. He messed all that up. Okay? It's better. It's actually better. I thought it was going to be good, but it's better. You see what I'm saying? And so what do I have to do? Just keep my mouth shut. Keep my mouth shut and say, yes, Lord, we heard you. We're obeying you. Go to Malachi. And I know it's going to continue to get better for all of us because we're going to get this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, it says, your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God, and what profit is it if we keep his ordinances and walk gloomily as if in mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts? And now we consider the proud and arrogant to be happy and favored. Evildoers are exalted and prosper, yes, and when they test God, they escape unpunished. We have to keep our eyes off everybody else in this season and keep them on ourselves. We have to keep our eye on ourselves. Don't be looking at everything that's going on and everything around you and everybody else. Keep your eyes inward in this season, because you can't know and understand everything God's doing. Amen. See, in the kingdom, we're faith walkers. Yeah. We blow with the wind, right? We say all that. We just blow with the wind. The wind blows. There it is. There we go. That's how we're supposed to be in the kingdom. We don't always understand, but nonetheless, we join and unify so God can command the blessing. And when things happen and people shift out and do things that we know in their heart they're missing it, we just pray. Pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit and walk in love, and God will work it out. I've seen him do it in my life over and over, and he's doing that now with people. They're just coming back. God is restoring, adding to, okay? Because that's how you have to walk it out. And then it says in verse 16, and those that fear the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. Wow, that's us. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I am publicly recognized and I openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. Wow, that's so much right there. He's saying those that talked, those that thought on his name, those that talked about him. So when we get together and we talk about the Lord, the angels are recording our words and the Father's excited and says, those are my jewels. Those are my special possessions. And you notice that before all the other stuff was going on, but now there are people, okay, that choose not to get in those kind of conversations, and we pull out of that and we're going to talk about the Lord. We're going to talk about the goodness of God and what he's doing. We're going to focus on life. We're going to focus on all the good things that God is doing because he's progressing and he's moving and he's changing like the wind and he's doing such great things. So by faith, I believe that. I never focus on where I'm at or my situation. I never allow the enemy to magnify the do's and the don'ts and where I'm at. I always look ahead. You remember he said, you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. Paul said he fought a good race. What'd he do? He kept forward. You never go back. Always forward. Even if you miss a step, don't you love it that you missed it by faith? You believed you made the right step. See, God honors that. He looks at the heart. He looks at us, our motives, and when we're moving. So don't be upset if people step out into something and maybe they fumble or they miss it. Don't talk bad. At least they're stepping. At least they're doing something lest they do nothing, right? Okay, and so God's got that, you know. He's got it. And so in Jeremiah 7:8, it says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. And so when the enemy comes to you to accuse you, even self-accusation, don't trust in lying words. Don't trust in those you can't, you shouldn't, and you know, you'll never, and all those negative things. Don't trust in that. Okay? He says there's no profit in that. Let's go to Proverbs 12. I'm going to wind it up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want the Father to release everything he's promised in my life. Proverbs 12:5 says, the thoughts and purposes of the consistently righteous. See, we got to be consistent in this thing. Are honest and reliable, but the counsels and designs of the wicked are treacherous. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them and the innocent ones thus endangered. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the uncompromisingly righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, he said, but he who is a perverse heart shall be despised. And so if we say, Proverbs 8, if we say that we're the righteous seed of God, okay, then we've got to start decreeing and declaring again the things that God has promised us, and we can't grow weary in this season. In Proverbs 8:5, it says, oh, you simple, understand wisdom. He said, understand wisdom, you fools, and be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and opening of my lips shall be right things, he said. For my mouth shall utter truth, and wrongdoing is detestable and loathsome to my lips. And all the words of my mouth are righteous. They're upright and right standing with God, and there is nothing contrary or crooked in them. They are plain to him who understands and opens his heart and right to those who find knowledge and live by it. So receive my instruction and preference in striving for silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. And so all of it, all of us today, when he's talking about the call of wisdom, okay, because our words are deep. Remember, they're laying a foundation. And I like what Apostle, he said in one of his, and you guys have probably heard it. He said, you cannot curse what you want to draw life from. That is so good. And so we can't. We can't curse what we want to draw life from, even if it's a spouse or, you know, whatever that thing is, ministry. We can't do it. We can't do it. I was ministering to a couple, and the husband was always saying, you know, well, here we go again. here we go again. You know, how long is this going to last? You know, she's doing okay now, but, you know, it always, you know, it'll, a couple weeks, it'll be, you know. What is he doing? He's laying that foundation. He's building her to cycle again. He's building it. And she will, because he keeps saying she will. And see, and they're tied together. You know, we're all tied together here in a covenant relationship.
Yes, yes, we are.
We sure are. We're tied together. We have a covenant relationship. We have come in a covenant with the house and what God is doing in the region. And so we affect each other. We affect each other. What you say about me affects my life. You know, what I say about you affects yours, whether you like it or not. We have an exchange going on in the spirit. And what is that exchange? Whatever I'm speaking, the enemy uses it. A winged creature takes it and puts it to life. Whatever it is, good or bad, he carries it and he takes it. It's very serious. It's very serious in this hour that we really guard what is coming out of our mouth. Because there's a lot of things going on. And so we have to be really wise to those things. And don't be deceived by the craftiness of the enemy, because he is sly. He is very sly, and he's good at what he does. Okay? But the greater one lives in us. He lives in us. And so we need to remember, too, that you carry the kingdom. So on your workplace, wherever that place is, you know, there's a lot of that stuff that goes on out in the secular arena as well. But you have the authority and you have the ability to take charge and control of the atmosphere, okay, and cause it to be a blessed place because you're there. You can do that. You can bless that business to prosper. You can speak life to that thing. And when you do it and you bless it to prosper, it profits you. It works. You have that power and authority to change those things. Thank God. And so let's go to Proverbs 4. Don't you love Proverbs? I do. It says, put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far from you. Let your eyes look right on with a fixed purpose. You see that? Let your eyes look straight on, right on, with a fixed purpose. What is our purpose? The territory, the region, the basin,
yes.
Wherever he sends us. Okay? We're fixed. Let your gaze be straight before you. Don't look to the left or to the right in this season. Straight ahead. Straight ahead. He says, consider well the path of your feet and let your ways be established and ordered aright. So if I'm, my speech, okay, according to this, my speech orders my steps. All right. So what I'm speaking and what I'm saying makes my path straight or crooked. It's the truth. And so we have to know we want everything to be established and ordered right. He says, turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Yeah. So we have to come out of some snares today. We have to come out of some snares. You remember in Daniel 7, and we know the story of Daniel when he was praying and fasting and all the things he did. The Bible says that the angel came because of his words. He said, I'm here. Because of your words, Daniel, I've came. If he would have never spoke those words, would he have came?
Yeah.
The angel came because of his words, what he spoke out of his mouth. So we think our words don't matter. They matter. Our words matter. Today, life words are going out, and they're producing life. Okay? And so whatever's coming out, it's going to produce that which I'm speaking. And so when the angel came and Daniel spoke those things, because of his obedience and because of his words, things happen. In Acts 10:44, there's a scripture that says, and when all of them were speaking, as the apostles were speaking, the Holy Ghost came. He fell as they were speaking. So you see how important it is to open your mouth and begin to speak life and to begin to speak the word. See, we know that, and that's a simple truth, but we've gotten lazy. The Lord told me we need to tighten up. We've gotten slacked and we've gotten lazy, and that happens. It happens because things do happen and we get tired sometimes, but we have to strengthen and encourage ourselves and allow God to come in and allow him to clean the atmosphere. Because Job 22:28 says, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. Okay. So let light shine on your ways. Simple word, but you need to hear it today. Because that's what he told me to bring. And so we're not going to allow the accuser. Remember where you're seated. Remember who you are and what you house, and that you're seated at the throne of God. And your words have that much power. Angels wait to excel in strength. They want to come. They want to move. Just like the enemy, he just lingers around and he waits for an opportunity to carry something and to bring it to pass. Why? Because he hates you. He hates you. So if my brother and sister is crying out and praying, say, just a simple analogy, say Aaron had a business of some kind, a painting business or something. Should use Carrie, but I'll pick on Aaron. But say he has a business, you know. Now remember, he's your brother, right? He's your brother. So say someone comes and says, well, you know, Aaron is trying to start a business. You know, blah, 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 something negative, you know. Well, you know, he's this or he's that, or he's not a very good painter. You know, he came and painted my house. What are you doing? Snaring him. A snare, a fowler's snare, the word said. That means I'm chaining him up. Okay, so what do? He's my brother. What I say, hey, Aaron's a man of God. Aaron's a man of God. He has a seed of God in him. He has creative power. And Aaron is growing in grace. There's ways you can speak back and speak life to people and stop that. Right. It's so simple, y'all, but it happens all the time. It's happening. I'm telling you, it's happening. I've had a lot of dreams. It's happening. Yes. Dreaming all the time about stuff like this. And so what is the Lord saying? Tighten up. We got to be one body. We got to come together. We got to tighten up and unify and loose some snares on people. Loose them. Recently, someone gave me a dream. An intercessor had a dream that they were on a journey and there was just broken bikes and pieces of bikes all up and down the trail. It was connected to a ministry. And I told him, I said, that's those broken people. That's those. And you know what they were? They were chained up. The broken pieces were chained up and inoperative, couldn't work. That's what happens to people because of these snares. See, we hold them in bondage. We know woe. Jesus said woe because of offenses, right? He says they're going to come. He said woe to them when offenses come. You are snared and stuck up if you're offense. You'll never move forward. And so, and because a curse can't come without a cause, if I've spoken evil of others, okay, I've got to repent for that. I got to change and use wisdom. Proverbs says wisdom on how to say, wisdom on what to speak. There's a way you can speak wisdom in life and still not pacify things. Okay, there's a maturity and there's a way you can discipline without killing folks. All right, there's a way to do it, and Holy Spirit will show us how to do it so we can continue to let life flow through the body, and we're all beginning to speak the same things. And so I'm my brother's keeper, so the word says. And so when that comes to me with things, what? I'm my brother's keeper. And so I'm not going to allow the enemy to snare them because I want his business to prosper and be blessed. I want him to succeed because I partake in that blessing too. Okay, he's blessed, I'm blessed. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. When someone gets a promotion or gets blessed, we're supposed to celebrate when someone gets blessed. I'm not supposed to be jealous. I'm supposed to say, bless the Lord, mine's coming too. You know, I'm not supposed to be jealous. I'm not supposed to be envious when other people prosper. Because that prosperity's for me too. You see? And so all this stuff. So we're going to ask Holy Spirit. We're going to ask him to just, y'all just stand up. We're just going to pray. So just begin to pray, and we're just going to ask Holy Spirit just to bring some conversations. And even those things you've said about yourself, all those things you've spoken over yourself, things you don't like about yourself, things that you allow the enemy to magnify and to get you to meditate on. And you meditate on that one thing when God says, what's in you? That's too big for me. Yeah. That I can't use you the way I want. That this word This word of God says everything in here is for me, and this is who I am. So what is that thing? So Father, we lift it before you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, ask that you would just begin to deal with the hearts of your people. Father, this is the word you gave me, Lord. So Father, I ask that it would just go in right now. Father God, that those conversations and those judgments that they have made against each other and the judgments they have made against maybe leadership or bosses or parents or children, whatever that thing is, Father, that you would let them see it right now, Holy Spirit, that you would bring it up. Every negative, inoperative word, Father God, that's been spoken contrary, Lord, we just lift it before you right now. And Father, we just repent. So right where you're at, just ask God to forgive you, because we're going to pray a prayer and clean the atmosphere. Father, we just ask that you would just forgive us right now. Father God, from every evil word we have spoken out of our mouth. Father God, we ask that you would just take a big eraser with the blood of Jesus, and you would just erase all of those words, Father God, that's been recorded. All those words, Father God, that we have spoken that has held up our blessing, that has held up our prosperity, that has held up our advancement, Father, in the things of the Spirit, our gifts and all those things that you have for us. Father, I ask that you would just forgive us, Father, that you would annihilate, that you would erase all of those words. And Father God, I just right now, Father, we just loose snares off our brothers and sisters, Father. We loose snares of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Every snare and every chain, Father God, that's had them bound and shackled, Father God, we release them right now. We release our brother. We release our leaders, Father God. We release, Father God, our friends and our families, Father God, and all those things, Father. We ask that you would just rebuke the devourer, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we loose the snares that we've stepped into with concerning ourselves. Every snare that we have put on ourselves, Father God, and we have bound ourselves, Father God, with these snares, all these I can and I'm not able and I'm not this and I'm not that. Father, we loose that stuff. We loose it. We loose it. We are yours. We are created in your image. We house your spirit and we are able to do all things. You said not some things, not certain things. You said all things are possible. And so, Father, I thank you even now, Father, as the atmosphere all around us is clean. The blood of Jesus cleans the atmosphere, Father, all around us, Lord. And I ask that you would just begin to touch people, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, that you would just begin to touch right now. I know it's been a long week, but y'all press in and he's going to touch you. Father, we just lose your presence. Father, we just lose your glory. Just let your glory begin to minister, Father, to the hearts of your people. That you would go in those places, Father God, that you would strengthen their inner man today, that you would give them the fresh and filling, Father God, of your presence and your fire, Father, that you would purge our tongue today. That there would be a purging of our tongue, that you would take the coal of heaven, Father God, because we don't want the words we speak, Father God, to cause us to have crooked paths, Father. Just purge our tongues in this place. Let the coal of heaven, Father, touch our lips. Kobo Shiana Maria Sata. Let us have a fresh covenant, Father, with our mouth. Father, we just have a fresh covenant with our mouth, Father God, that we will speak life. Father God, that we will speak blessing, Father God, that we will speak life blessing, Father God, over each other, Father God, and even over those who have persecuted us and those that have hurt us, Father, we release that. We release them, Father, to be free. We release them, Father God, to come into the knowledge, Father God, of forgiveness, Lord, and to come into understanding, Father. We release them. We don't want anybody stared up in this place. No one snared, Lord. We want everybody to have life. And everybody to have life more abundantly, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for a fresh consecration today of our mouth. And we bind up right now every curse and every hindering devil, every hindering spirit, every negative curse that's been spoken over this house. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against it, Father, and we rebuke the enemy, Father God, every lying spirit, every accusation, every devil of slander, every critical negative spirit, Father God, that's been sent on assignment over City Gate, South Haven, Father God. We curse it right now by the blood of Jesus. We command those words, Father God, to be cast down right now in Jesus' name. Father, we cover our leaders in the blood of Jesus, Father God, right now. We cover and shield them, Father God, in Jesus' name. The whole family, Father God, we cover them in the blood. We cover them in the blood, and we draw a bloodline. We draw a bloodline, Father, and we say no more. No more, Father, and we thank you that those things are annihilated in Jesus' name, that today is a new day of speaking the same thing, Father, that we will speak the same thing, what your word has said and what the prophets have spoken, Father, we will speak those things, Father, and by faith we believe it is so, and we honor you today and we glorify you in Jesus' name, amen.